I call the meeting of the Wednesday, February 19th, 2025, House Veterans and Military Division to order. Quorum is present, and we'll begin our meeting with a pledge of allegiance to the United States of America. Representative Duran, would you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin our agenda, I want to remind everybody that the division expects proper decorum at all time. All dialogue goes through the chair. Signs are not allowed in the committee room. There will be no outbursts or clapping. There is no standing or sitting in the walkways and aisles. If accommodation is needed, communicate with the sergeant staff. There will be consequences if there is a disruption. Thank you to the sergeant-at-arms staff who are present and helping to maintain decorum in the committee. We're going to skip the minutes this week. We had technical difficulty, so we'll get to them next week. Let's see. The first bill is House File 753. Chair Robbins, I believe that's your bill. And Chair Robbins is not a member of the Veterans and Military Affairs Division, so I will move that House File 753 is recommended to be referred to the Commerce and Finance Committee. Please begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. This is a very simple bill that's been floating around here for many years, I think predating my service, and I think I've carried it for 5 years. And this is a bill that we really need to get done this year. So what this bill does is it expands the allowable uses of charitable gambling proceeds so that veterans organizations can use that money to improve, repair, their real property. So many of our veterans organizations throughout the state have buildings that are in disrepair, need new HVAC, need new security, need new pavement for ADA requirements, and they currently are paying up to a 33% sales tax on their gaming proceeds that goes directly into state general fund, but they cannot use that money to repair their own buildings, which are so important for gathering places in our community, for charitable work. So this bill just remedies that by expanding the list of allowable expenditures for gaming proceeds for veterans organizations only. And it has always enjoyed strong bipartisan support. And I hope we can get it through this year. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Please have your testifiers state their name and record. Do you have any testifiers?
All right. I believe so.
Please state your name for the record and begin.
Chair, Barry Henriksen. I'm the Adjutant Quartermaster for the Department of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars. And in that role, I'm the one full-time officer at the state capitol up here. And as adjutant, I hear about all the posts, how they're doing. I'm kind of in communications. And as quartermaster, I see all their audits. So I'm really their point of contact. So far this year, we've already had five consolidations, meaning five communities have lost their Veterans of Foreign Wars posts, and they're hurting financially out there. And this bill doesn't cost the taxpayers anything. There's a great one. No cost. It just allows us to be able to make these improvements. I see these audits where posts have $5,000, $10,000. And if they go away, the community loses the veteran support that the posts do, the community. Most of them donate to the food shelf and all the sports activities. So if you lose that, you lose a great resource to these posts. And we talked about the state of the buildings. If you go to these old downtowns and or the traditional downtowns outside the metro area, they need a lot of help, these posts. And they don't have the resources, but they do if they're allowed to use their charitable gambling assets. And the same thing here in the metro area. A lot of times these posts are very large and they have these event halls, but these event halls are out, they're outdated. You know, if you had, you know, your son or daughter wanted to have a wedding and you'd walk into some of our meeting halls, you'd kind of go, eh. But it's because they can't afford to improve them because they can't use these assets. So we would really ask for your support in this bill so that our posts can make these great upgrades and be able to afford them. Thank you.
Thank you. I noticed there's another name on the list, Joe Herzog. Is Joe in the room today? Thank you. And also, Mr. Herzog did supply some written testimony. It's in your package as well.
Okay.
Thank you. Please state your name and begin.
I am Tim Engstrom. I'm the gambling manager for Bloomington American Legion Post 550, but I'm also the communications director for the American Legion Department of Minnesota. I work in the same building as Barry, a veteran service building across the lawn. And we have reports about many posts that are struggling with taxes. Buffalo Post 270 was one of them that was going to be here today. I know that the VFW in Bloomington struggles with taxes quite frequently. The one in Waite Park, I think they said, the adjutant there said they were dealing with a $60,000 tax burden, and that's why it's now a car wash instead of a post. We've just seen so many. We saw, what was it, Coon Rapids is closed, Champlin is gone. My post in Bloomington was closed in 2007. There's just time, they just little by little, they all go away. And then that's less of a safe space for veterans, and that's less of a refuge, a resource for veterans, a place where they can get help and find camaraderie and people who can maybe point them in the right direction. And we're dealing with all these other veterans' problems, and it would be great if we had these places out there as the first place we can go to catch them and help them and get them turned in the right direction. So they're very important to our mission, and having the ability to repair them and keep them and maintain them is crucial to Minnesota. So it's resoundingly something across the state that would be popular and bipartisan.
Thank you. Are there any other testifiers that would like to speak? How about member questions? Are there any member questions? That looks like it's non-controversial. Chair
Fantastic.
Robbins, closing statements.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to my testifiers. Members, this is a need across the state for all our veterans organizations. As was pointed out by both the testifiers, we are losing these important community assets that are important for the gathering spaces in our community for veterans and for American Legion, but also important for, like, they hold breakfasts and they hold fundraisers and they do so much through their work. So if we can make these spaces safe and more attractive to the younger veterans, the younger people in the community, they'll keep showing up and it will continue to be a vibrant hub. So please support this work. As was pointed out, there's no cost. So hopefully we can get it across the line this year. Thank you.
Chairman, may I make one more point?
Sure, go ahead.
I used to be the editor of the Albert Lee Tribune. And I always noticed that whenever the Bonding Bill Committee or any other legislative committee came to Albert Lee to do some research and look at, like, you know, dredging the lake or anything, they held their meeting at the Legion. So it's a resource for the state as well.
All right. Thank you. I renew my motion that House File 753 is referred to the Commerce Committee. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries and House File 753 is referred to Commerce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
As Vice Chair Olson moves to the table, welcome. Would you like to move that House File 733 is recommended to be referred to the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Please begin your testimony.
Thank you. Thank you to the committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 733 basically fixes an issue that occurred 2 years ago when the majority party went looking for a solution to a problem that didn't exist. They said that this e-poll tab issue that we've got going on was too close to what a slot machine was, which is nothing that the Minnesota Gambling Control Board ever said. They not once claimed that these games were outside of the regulations that were previously created. And so because they wanted to choose losers and no winners in this situation, the majority party passed a law last time that said it created vast restrictions on the e-poll tabs, which has hurt our charities. You know, when we were having this discussion in the tax committee a couple years ago, I listed off all of the all of the benefits that the Legion in a member who is no longer with us because they'd never won re-election, which I'm sure didn't have anything to do with the fact that they fought against this bill so hard. But our legions, our charities, they are receiving revenue from these, and they are spending it to benefit our communities. There are huge lists of organizations that particular legions, associations, and other charities are performing in this state, and we are hindering their ability to further their mission. Now, I spoke with you all last week about some of my concerns with the department and how we're not fighting hard enough against soldier suicide. And one of the things that I've come to realize, and I know that most of the individuals, most of us in this committee, have no understanding of what it's like to be downrange and have community with other individuals fighting overseas. We don't have that understanding. But if you look throughout history, when individuals came home from war, the only people that they really found solace and counsel with are their own brothers and sisters in arms who had fought and understood those same things and went through those same things. One of the things that I'm concerned with is as we continue to hinder our charity's ability to perform their missions, as we just saw with Representative Robbins' bill, that we currently don't even allow them to use their gambling funds for maintenance of their buildings, that we're going to lose these institutions and we will further isolate these soldiers who have spent so much time with these issues that they're dealing with. So that's the entirety of this bill is just to rewrite a wrong, fix something that was done to hurt our charities, hurt our communities. And like I said, it's creating a situation where all we've done is find losers in this situation. No one in my district, and I can very safely say that no one in my district is driving 90 minutes to go to Mystic Lake to play slots on a Thursday night. They're not choosing to do that. And so you're not going to see a significant increase in the revenue of the tribes. You are not going to see that. But what we are seeing is a significant reduction in revenue from our charities. And that will hurt every single individual in this room's communities, every single one. And so by not supporting a bill like this, you're not choosing a winning side. You are just choosing to continue one side that is losing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And I just want to remind our testifiers that in this committee, we do try to keep things in a neutral stance and try to keep the parties out of the comments. I'd appreciate it. Thank you. And we do have some testifiers. First one is Rachel Jenner. That's right. Executive Director for Allied Charities of Minnesota. Please state your name and begin testifying. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Bliss, members of the committee. My name is Rachel Jenner. I am the Executive Director of Allied Charities, and I am here today to represent the nearly 1,200 charities in Minnesota that raise funds using charitable gambling. We have strongly supported tax relief. We also strongly oppose the changes that were made in 2023. The sports gambling bill that we currently have trying to work through the legislature this year has had bipartisan support for historic tax relief. And that is critical to ensuring that our communities can continue to have the support from these charities and do all the great works that they do. We consistently opposed the 2023 legislative changes to our e-poll tab games because it was removing key game features that we believed would significantly reduce our revenue. And that trickles down into those communities that we serve. The new e-poll tab restrictions took effect on January 1st, so about 7 weeks ago. And in the first month, under these new rules, I've heard from many organizations that are down 20% or more in their revenue from December to January. This revenue, of course, impacts their ability to fund veteran services, youth sports, fire departments, a myriad of essential community programs that we fund. The reduction in funds also means less scholarships and charitable gambling initiatives. I've included an example in your packet this morning from the Claremont Chamber of Commerce. Claremont is a town of only 542 people, yet their charitable gambling, which has four sites, is donating $232,000 a year. They are supporting, as you can see on that list, a wide variety of charities. It is veterans programs, it is schools, it is sports, there's community fairs and different things that are happening, Quilts of Valor. I mean, they are funding every need that they possibly can. All the while, the biggest benefactor of their efforts is still the state of Minnesota, because you'll see at the bottom, they paid $364,000 in tax last year. These are their 2024 numbers. And the call that I receive most from charities who are concerned about what's happening to their bottom line is asking me when the legislature is going to identify this, recognize this problem, and do something about it. We are number one in the nation for charitable gambling. We are a Minnesota success story. You know, the way that this was set up to raise funds through gambling and then filter it into charities who are supporting all these different community initiatives is amazing. And the removal of our game features, such as open all, free play, and bonus games, is significantly altering the player experience, and now we're seeing that in our impacting our participation and our revenue. So reinstating these features would help restore revenue streams for us, and it would help maintain the balance between regulatory oversight and sustainable charitable fundraising. So we urge you to support the restoration of the PULTAB features, ePULTAB features, to ensure that Minnesota charities can continue their great work. We have long relied on stable and predictable income from charitable gambling, and this sudden disruption threatens our ability to serve our communities effectively. We remain committed to working with legislators, regulators, and stakeholders to find solutions to protect charitable revenue while maintaining responsible gaming practices. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I would stand for any questions.
Thank you very much. We'll hold off on questions until we're done with the testifiers. David Stalin, State Commander of VFW.
Yeah, Barry Hendrickson, State Adjutant Quartermaster again. Dave Stalin had a VA appointment today, so.
All right. Please begin.
In my role as adjutant, I see every community service report that comes in from our 188 posts throughout the state. And on those reports, it lists how much money and where it's going. And so on a daily basis, I'm seeing thousands of dollars donated to might be Lakeville Hockey. It's going out to so boys and girls sports. It's going out to veterans, and it's going out to food shelves. And that money over the last year, our posts, the donations have been great. And my concern and our concern is that we've already seen the numbers. I've talked to White Bear Lake and Cottage Grove. And in the month of January, they were down, not from December, because I think that everyone would say, woo, December is a busy month. If you're down if you're down in January versus December, people would say, well, you know, it's dry January, people aren't going out. I'm talking January to January, we're seeing double digits decreases in the revenues coming in. I know it's a small sample size, but, you know, we've been seeing this coming. And our real concern is what is going to happen to our local communities, because the money that comes into our posts goes into the communities. It goes into the communities. And there's going to be a vacuum. And where's that money going to come from? Is it going to come from the state? You know, our organizations are here, and we want to help our local communities. That's our mission. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Tim Eggstrom. Please state your name, begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm Tim Engstrom. I am the Communications Director for the American Legion Department of Minnesota, but I have a side job as the gambling manager for Bloomington Post 550. Like I mentioned, we don't have a building, but we do charitable gambling at two local bars in Bloomington, and we support a lot of causes in Bloomington. In fact, because so many other charities in gambling around the area support one thing, like this sport or that sport, we end up being a critical source of revenue for the rest of the community, food shelves, Closet of Hope, all sorts of things. We do a lot for veterans, so I'm sure as you can guess, but today I want to show how important our community work is too. Last year, Bloomington Schools budget cuts killed a summer program to teach English to high school kids who are new to America. The program enabled them to attend regular high school in the fall. The program had nowhere else to go but to American Legion Post 550. We were able to donate $3,000 so the program could survive. You go to Kennedy High School, there's a pantry. It has notepads, pencils, deodorant, toothpaste, and more things for kids whose families can't afford to provide these common items. Who funds it? We do. Drive around the community, and there are all these little things here and there that we support. Food shelf, art center, youth sports, youth programs, Closet of Hope, 4th of July fireworks, medical care, like when families have medical fundraisers, flags at the schools, even the needlework club at the community center. You know, we do so many little things. Just nobody else is funding this stuff because, you know, so like it's very important for us that we are it gives our veterans a sense of purpose, and that's why we do it. It's the sense of purpose. We never stop serving our country. When the legislature in 2023 stripped features from EPOL tab games, we knew it would impact our ability to raise revenue for these programs. Now, it is happening. ACM tells us the ETAB revenue is nearly down 20% statewide. What I understand is that's January compared to December, right? So let me remind you, the courts have ruled several times that these features are not breaking the 2012 agreement with the casinos. ETABs don't have jackpots. They don't have unlimited bets. Harming ETABs is not going to result in greater revenue at casinos. People will continue to go to their favorite bars. These changes, all they do is result in less revenue for the charities. If I can't help a veteran service officer house a homeless veteran, it's because of these ETAB changes. And believe me, Hennepin County, we get asked. Meanwhile, the price of the games goes up. Minimum wage goes up. I have to offer safe and sick time now. Other prices rise. Guess what? The pull tabs still cost $2 a piece. I can't change the face price, even though all of my other costs go up. You don't have to be an economist to understand that there ends up being fewer donations to go around. Of my two locations, one is rather new for gambling, so I can't really use its numbers. But for the other, overall net receipts were down 29% from January this year compared to January of last year. I think that's a fair comparison when you compare last year's month. So that's 29% overall down, but paper pull tabs were down 24%. ETABs were down 44%. That's an incredible drop. So I think it draws less people, and the amount that it hurt ETABs is down a lot too. Now there's other factors like higher grocery prices. Maybe people have less discretionary income. So there was a decline altogether, but there was an incredible decline in ETABs compared to the January of last year. And my pull tab sellers say the main reason is customers dislike the new games. We tried to make lemons out of lemonade, or lemonade out of lemons. We tried to put a face on it. We tried to tell all of our customers, hey, it's not going to be so bad. Because, you know, if you go around and say something's going to be bad, it'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? This is going to be bad. So you try to tell them, it's not going to be so bad. We'll be fine. You know, you think you're going to try to smooth it over, and you don't want to hurt your own revenue. And yet we're down 44% on ETAB revenue. We did everything, but the customers are going to make their own decisions. And meanwhile, I still have to pay 33% of my net receipt in taxes. I want to be clear about our official stance. Posts of the American Legion would love to have our features back. If we get them back, we would still need to reduce the highest in the nation taxes too. Charities have been asked for tax relief for two decades now. It's time. You know, we're like bugs under a rock. You know, they pull up the rock once a year and look at us and say, look at all the great hard work they're doing. And then they put the heavy burden back on top of us. So let's get this done this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I have Rachel Keller. Please come to the desk, state your name, and begin your testimony, please.
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you so much. My name is Rachel Keller. And I am the president of the Bloomington Kennedy Activities Foundation, located in Bloomington, Minnesota. About 6 years ago, we noticed that there was a high need for additional funds to come in for families that are experiencing financial hard times. These are not necessarily families that qualify for free and reduced lunch rate, but it's for all families that have students and activities at Kennedy High School. Families like myself, where we have three kids, which we were blessed that we didn't qualify for free and reduced lunch rate, but yet there were times, and if you have children here in this on this panel, you would know that it's financially tough when all the financial activities seem to come up all at one time. So we started this foundation 6 years ago as a hand up for families and groups at Kennedy High School. At the time, and even tougher now, we were noticing a downswing on fundraising tactics of selling stuff, going door to door, going to our community, going to our neighbors to sell items. Although that may be fine in smaller communities, but in our larger city community of Bloomington, Minnesota, we find it difficult. We serve a high level of low-income families that don't have the resources over the neighborhoods or the families to even fundraise. So our foundation partners with the high school in assisting our families with shoes, paying for fees, uniforms, equipment, singing lessons, and group events. So you might be thinking, well, what does this have to do with gambling? Everything. As our foundation sits right now, we are finding it difficult to increase and to find other ways to increase our revenue. Matter of fact, just recently last week, I spoke to our very small volunteer board of five very passionate parents, asking the Lord for new ideas to bring in revenue to support our ever-increasing needs at Kennedy High School. Right now, BCAF, or Bloomington Kennedy Activities Foundation, relies solely on charitable gambling donations, as with the Post 550. We partner with the Post 550 in raising funds. We at BCAF, we staff the bingo for Post 550 at Sports Page in Bloomington. They hold the license. We do the work. They donate to our 501c3. It's a perfect partnership. I love it. Cuts to this charitable gambling hurt the Legion's ability to support BCAF. However, with ETAB revenue down, it hurts the ability for this licensed charity at the bars to aid other charities in their community. Post 550 gives at least $29,000 a year, if not more, to BCAF. Please reconsider opening up this law, revisiting previous gaming structures. I wanted to share with you a little bit of my story and the tweaks that we have, how this could really trickle down to the bottom end user, which is ourselves and families. Thank you.
Thank you. The next would be Jack Meeks, Chairman of the Citizens Against Gambling Expansion. Please come to the table and state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Chairman Bliss and members of the Veterans and Military Affairs Division. My name is Jack Meeks, Chairman of Citizens Against Gambling Expansion, CAGE, an organization founded more than 25 years ago to oppose the proliferation of gambling in our state. Thank you for allowing me to testify today in opposition to House File 733. This bill would allow the expansion of slot machine-like gambling in almost 2,000 locations throughout the state. If this legislation passes, establishments across Minnesota will be allowed to turn e-pull tab machines into handheld slot machines with an open all and several other slot machine features that are explicitly prohibited by past legislatures. The new electronic pull tabs allowed in this bill will closely simulate slot machine action, including the open all feature, which is just like a slot machine, which is not a paper pull tab feature allowed by law. Another significant change contained in this bill that we are concerned about are the animated features like video games played by children. Many of the establishments that feature electronic pull tabs are local restaurants and other establishments that are open to children and are non-age restricted. Furthermore, research has consistently shown that slot machines and similar devices, such as electronic pull tab machines, are the most addictive form of gambling. These machines, located in neighborhood restaurants and bars in all parts of our state, will encourage and promote increased problem gambling and social and family issues associated with problem gambling, increased social cost to every local community throughout the state where these machines are located. This social cost that will fall upon local law enforcement, social workers, and local employers include increased rates of bankruptcy, theft and embezzlement, divorce and spousal and child abuse. And finally, increasing numbers of youth gambling, since Minnesota is one of only a few states that continue to allow 18-year-old kids, many of whom are still in high school, to gamble. CAGE does not oppose charitable gambling, and we support the work of the charities who profit from gambling. That work will continue just as it has since the legislature last weighed in on this issue in 2023. In fact, charitable e-pull tab gross annual sales have continued to increase in Minnesota since 2016, when they first came on the market. Even after the legislature stepped in and passed language in 2023 that clarified the existing prohibition on the use of slot machine-like features in electric pull tabs, charitable e-pull tab revenue increased 34% in just the last 2 years. This is an enormous increase and makes it abundantly clear that charitable gambling enterprises continue to increase sales without these features, features that we believe would turn neighborhood bars and restaurants into over 2,000 new casinos with slot machines. If the state would like to help charitable gambling enterprises, there are much better ways to help these charities. I would suggest the real help they need is in amending the state's tax code, not in placing slot machines in 2,000 neighborhood bars and restaurants throughout the state that will attract the attention of children when they feature cartoon characters. If the legislature chooses to allow electronic pull tabs that mimic slot machines, you will be allowing a major expansion of gambling, the use of virtual handheld slot machines, some featuring childish cartoon characters that appeal to youth and purport to be pull tabs, a matter that we strongly oppose. It is abundantly clear that this change in electronic pull tabs will be a major expansion of gambling in Minnesota. Don't gamble with Minnesota's future. Thank you for your time today, and I hope you will oppose the bill before you today. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Andy Plato. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. Please state your name with the proper pronunciation and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman Bliss and members. My name is Andy Plato, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association, or MIGA. MIGA represents 9 of the 11 federally recognized tribes in Minnesota. Thank you to the committee for the time and for your work in support of veterans. While my comments today will focus on veterans groups due to the jurisdiction of this committee, please note that we understand that the implications of this bill also apply to many other worthy causes. But veterans are especially important to my tribal leader clients, who uniquely understand your commitments to vets' issues. Native Americans have served in the armed forces at 5 times the national average for over 200 years, and that trend of service continues today. In other words, many of the veterans this committee's work support are also honored constituents of MIGA tribal leaders. House File 733 would undo the clarification made in 2023 to the original 2012 ETAB law. Tribal leaders strongly stand by the clarified game feature rules of 2023 and ask the committee to oppose this bill. Please remember, the 23 action materialized because the state's gaming regulators largely ignored critical aspects of the 2012 law. First, that each line, row, and column of e-tickets must be opened individually. Second, that ETAB games must be facsimiles of paper tickets. And most importantly, that games are prohibited from including representations that mimic a video slot machine. Slot machines are a critical part of tribal gaming operations that employ thousands of Minnesotans, especially in rural areas, and allow tribal governments to provide basic services to their communities, including to their elders and vets. So when state regulators allowed games to move outside their legislatively intended lane, tribes went to court and to the legislature to review these issues. The court ruled that games were improperly regulated, and the legislature rightly took action. Mr. Chair and committee, tribes have great respect for your efforts to help veterans and other charities. That vets organizations must rely on charitable gambling to provide vet services is an unfortunate reality. However, the problem isn't that charities aren't selling enough paper or electronic tickets. It's that far too little of the charitable gambling revenues actually make it to the charitable mission's bottom line. In fiscal year 22, charitable gambling produced $4.25 billion in sales, of which only $126 million went to charitable missions. In fiscal year 23, sales were up to $4.57 billion, meaning charitable gambling had had a great year and increased sales by $320 million. So what did those increased sales mean for vets and charities? Believe it or not, it actually meant less, nearly $5 million less than they had had for mission expenses the year before. Proponents of the bill argue ETAB slot features will mean increased revenues, increased sales, and increased revenues for vets and charities. That wasn't true in fiscal year 23 and wouldn't have been true in fiscal year 24, but for the key offset of tax relief the legislature provided as an essential part of the clarified game rules. In fact, GCB Director Wade recently wrote in her quarterly summary that the tax relief alone was worth $17 million post-tax directly to charity's mission. And what ultimately may make an even bigger impact is the 23 legislature's decision to cap manufacturers' fees at 25%, which went into effect in July of this year, of 24. A year from now, we will know how many additional millions that provision alone will bring for vets and charities' bottom lines. Without the tax relief by itself, charities would have had decreased dollars for their missions with increased sales for the second consecutive year. If charities and vets clubs continue to rely on gaming to support their missions, we would suggest that there are far better ways to increase resources to their bottom lines. Tribal leaders have done the math, understand the industry dynamics, and know for certain that tax relief, as those leaders support in current sports betting legislation, will provide a far greater benefit for charities and vets than the currently illegal slot features contemplated by this bill. For these reasons, we ask that you oppose House File 733. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Plato. Are there any other testifiers that would like to speak to this bill? If not, do we have member discussion? I have one on the list right now, Representative Ray Rauer. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly again.
Yes, Ray Rauer. Thank all you right, so much, Chair you. Bliss. Thank you to all the testifiers today. I want you to know that we do support all of you, and we value so much the work that you do. I just want to reiterate some of that history. So in 2012, the legislature authorized a new form of charitable gambling in the state. That was our e-poll tabs. Tribes did not oppose the legalization of these as long as the restrictions were placed into law to prevent them from becoming like slot machines, as was iterated by Andy. Since 2012, however, there have been violations of that law, and therefore in 2023, the legislature listened to the courts and made sure that we uphold our commitments to the Minnesota tribes. Along with this, there was a tax rate deduction for our Minnesota charitable gambling organizations and a cap on manufacturing fees. We want to ensure Minnesota charitable gambling would be taken care of. Together, the tax cuts and system improvements total $31 million in savings for Minnesota charities. There are also many newly approved games that are already selling. ETAB receipts for the month of January 2025 were $184 million. In addition, we're currently working on another large bill to give our charitable gambling organizations even more tax relief, as also was mentioned previously. I would request that we work on that and that we look to see that we're getting the best relief we can. Finally, I would like to share my personal disappointment that a partisan bill was brought forward to this committee. Because it was brought forward and because of the partisan nature of the testimony given by the bill author, I feel like I need to say this. We must honor our veterans 100%. Every single person on this committee believes in that and feels that way and has a commitment to our veterans. But we must also honor our Minnesota tribes who have also been dishonored over time throughout history. So bringing this bill forward is disappointing because we know this bill will never pass on the House floor. I would request that we work together on bipartisan bills that will support our vets and that will pass not only through this committee, but will also come forward and pass on the House floor. For example, we would love to work with you in a bipartisan nature on veteran suicide rates that has been previously mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to make a comment. I do apologize. We did slip a little bit in the opening remarks, and we do try to keep the dollars and D's at the door. However, this committee does have jurisdiction over the veterans, and that is part of this. So, yes, the bill will be coming through this committee, and we have enough stops on this bill to be as partisan as we'd like. So in this committee, we'll try to stay nonpartisan. Representative Hemington Yeager. I hope I'm pronouncing these names correctly.
Thank you. Hemington Yeager. Close. So I just kind of want to echo Representative Ray Rauer's comments. Thank you for those. And I guess one question I have is, you know, what kind of stakeholder engagement did you do before bringing this forward?
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that it's fairly clear through the testimony of the charities here that there is a lot of conversations regarding the last 2 years. This has been the topic of the last 2 years, if you don't remember. We have constantly been sitting here saying, you're hurting the charities, you're hurting the charities, you're hurting the charities, so much so that there wasn't even a single platform that you could play. There wasn't a single game designed at the time when this bill was first passed. So as a result, you had to push out the deadline to this January to give them time to make it. So you want to talk about stakeholders. For the last 2 years, the charities have been coming to us saying, this is going to hurt, this is going to hurt, this is going to hurt. Today they're here saying, this has hurt, this has hurt, this has hurt. It's very simple. Either you're for your communities, for your charities, for your veterans, or you're not.
Representative Hemington Yeager.
Okay. Thank you for that. So I just want to first say, like, I appreciate all of the work of all of the organizations and charities that we do in our community. I also take a step back. I'm a retired dance team coach, so I also recognize the amount that the community has to fund to help these sports go forward. But I also want to take a step back and think about if we were relying so much on the good nature and charity of our communities and our organizations, maybe we need to look at how the state is supporting our schools, and we need to do a better job supporting our schools. I also really believe in having integrity and honoring promises and honoring the words that we give, especially to our sovereign government neighbors. So I think we really need to make sure that, especially with the law clarification from the lawsuit, that we need to do our part and we need to make sure that we're honoring our word and honoring our promises. So I would like to request a roll call, please.
Roll call has been requested and one will be given. Representative Feist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To kind of build on some of the comments by my colleagues, I feel like there is a better way to support these important charities. And I think that Representative Hill's bill to support the Hometown Heroes programs, which is for outdoor recreational activities for veterans and first responders, and Representative Kosnick's bill supporting equine therapy for veterans really exemplify a better way to more directly support these programs. Those bills are bipartisan. And we heard really moving testimony in public safety yesterday from, you know, colleagues on both sides of the aisle, from people who run these programs, about how they are programs that provide direct services with integrity, that they run really good operations. You know, we heard about a great program that supports students, and I think those types of programs deserve support from the state. And we should just, you know, I'm just looking at this list. My son was involved in Cub Scouts, you know, these programs are just really important to our communities and to our state, and I think that direct appropriations and funding those types of programs is the way that the state can contribute to their mission. I don't know how we got here that we're asking charities to run gambling operations to fund their important services. I just hope that we can find a better way. As a mom, the testifier who talked about gambling and how it's too accessible to children, I think those are things that I think about a lot. So, yeah, thank you. And yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Feist. Representative Duran.
I've got a question for the last testifier, if we can have him come back up.
Sure, that would be Andy Plato. Representative Duran.
Thank you for the presentation, but I've got a couple questions for you. Maybe you explained this, I just didn't understand it. But have the casinos seen a decrease in revenues or any kind of profit because of these e-tabs or because of some of these gambling or these charitable gambling things that you can explain to us that would allow us to understand that these businesses are being hindered because of this?
Mr. Plato.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, the revenues of tribal casinos are not public data. I don't know them personally, but I can say anecdotally that Minnesota's gambling market is based on one set of disposable income. And if 700 and some million dollars in player losses to charities are occurring, that clearly would have an impact on all other forms of gambling, not just at Minnesota tribal casinos, but at racetracks, at the lottery. They're all connected, is what I mean.
Representative Duran.
So you can't give me a definitive answer whether or not that these charitable gamblings are actually hurting the tribal reservations at all at this point in time.
Mr. Plato.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, not in dollars and cents terms. I do not have that data available for the public.
Representative Duran.
We're sitting here talking about an issue of hurting a reservation. I have a reservation inside my district here, and we can't explain whether or not that these things are being hurt, you know, or that are hurting the reservations. Well, I'm a combat veteran myself, and I support all these deals, all right? So it's kind of torn here because we're saying that we're hurting an organization, but yet we can't give any definitive answers whether or not that we are hurting these organizations. So we need to, I guess we need to understand this a little bit more of why we're pushing back on this so hard if it's not hurting the people that you're saying that it is hurting right now, right? Like, that's my biggest concern right now is that we're having a conversation about something that we can't prove. And right now we're just pulling on hearts and strings and, you know, without actually having some facts right now, which is a huge concern because we're going to pass legislation on feelings. And that's not proper. And we need to make sure that we have a full understanding of the whole situation before we go down this road. So, you know, as of right now, you come in here saying that the reservations are strongly opposed to this, but we don't have any definitive answers whether or not that the reservations are going to be hurt by this. And that's a huge concern, right? Like, so do you have any more into that would actually allow me to understand a little bit more of how the reservations are actually going to be hurt by this?
Mr. Plato.
Mr. Chair, Representative, it's a fair question. I wish that I could show you a dollars and cents specific number on the impact these games have had. If a tribal leader were in front of you today, they would say that this is a serious matter of legislative intent and integrity. Those game restrictions that were put in the law were incredibly important, and they were ignored. Clearly, the law says you have to open each line, row, and column, Every ETAB on the market 6 months ago, you could push one button and open it all. The court looked at that and said the games have been improperly regulated. So this is more, this is not only about revenues that they are losing out for that they could use in their communities. It's also about principle. And it's about their relationships with the state of Minnesota when the state put in the law very specific restrictions. Regulators ignored them. The court agreed, and the legislature took action.
Representative Duran, follow up.
I do, but not with with the testifier here. So I'm good here.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Plato, I have some questions for you, and I'll get to other member comments too. Recently, the reservations in my district have banned pull tabs altogether. And I want to know if the money that was originally going to local charities such as snowmobile clubs and stuff like that, are the tribes continuing on with those donations?
Mr. Chairman, that's a question I would refer specifically to those tribes. I do know some general background on the issue. The one thing to keep in mind is that gambling on reservations should support tribes. That's a key paramount provision of the Indian Gambling Regulatory Act, the federal law. And I do know for sure that at least one tribe who has made some adjustments to the gambling that occurs on reservation have offered to match charitable donations from those bars to the charities that those bars have continued or were supporting and will continue to support. Minnesota tribes have no interest in harming charities. They just have interest in ensuring that gambling on the reservation supports tribes and not the state of Minnesota.
And one further follow-up question, Mr. Plato. The original intent of the legislation that was introduced last year was to clarify existing law. The law that was passed far exceeded what was discussed initially and brought further regulations down on the industry other than that was originally intended. Can you explain those differences to me, please?
Mr. Chairman, if I understand your question, you're asking the differences between the 2012 law and the clarification in 23?
Originally, it was a clarification. The law that was finally passed added additional restrictions on it that were beyond the clarifications.
I believe that the changes made, Mr. Chairman, apologies. I believe that the changes made in the 23 law was the clarification.
All right. I think that's all I have, so I may call you back up. And we do have Representative Clark. Do you have some questions?
Yeah, I think it might be kind of continuing. Why should we remove, and this is for the author, Chair Bliss, this is for the author. Why should we remove the clarifying language that was negotiated or developed during negotiations following the appeals court decision and risk another lawsuit with a gambling board?
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to answer your question, the Gambling Control Board in the state of Minnesota is the one who has been assigning and saying, hey, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay. So when it was first created, when e-poll tabs first came out, the Gambling Control Board said, this is all right, this is all right, this is all right. They're the ones who are the experts on this. This legislature is not the expert on this issue. Now, when you want to talk about clarifying things, the clarification that was in the lawsuit, from my understanding, is that there was this open all feature that was in question. Not all the other, you know, bells and whistles that were taken out in the negotiations 2 years ago. So you want to talk about negotiations. I don't remember being very much of a part of the negotiations. I understand that. That was based off of the majority of the people in the legislature. I get it. But now we're here having the same conversation, talking about how we are hurting our charities. We are hurting our communities. If we don't change this back to the way it was, to give the control back to the Gambling Control Board, to say, hey, you guys weren't that wrong. You know, there was not a single game developed in the country that you could play that would have fit the rules that were created that we're trying to rectify. The software engineers had to recreate games that would fit this ridiculously strict identifying of what the negotiation was. And like I can tell you again and again, nobody in my district is driving 90 minutes to Mystic Lake on a Thursday night to play slots. They're going to a local bar or restaurant. They're buying a burger. They're having a drink. And they're playing a couple bucks on their e-poll tabs. And now they're choosing not to do that because of this. We are hurting our charities. We are hurting our veterans. And we are not helping anyone else.
Representative Clardy, follow up.
I guess from my perspective is I'm really concerned with promises broken and the repeated pattern. And I guess this is something real personal from me just because of my own personal heritage as being African American, but just watching the tribes go through the same thing year after year, depending on the weather, you know. So I'm just really concerned about honoring that piece.
Thank you. And just as a reminder, we do have a hard stop today at 9:30 for House mandated training. And Representative Ray Rauer.
Thank you, Chair. I just, based on the testimony or the questions and concerns going back and forth, I just want to reiterate that had the original agreement with the tribes that took place in 2012 been honored, we wouldn't be here today. It was an agreement made with the tribes, and they weren't going to oppose ETABs as long as the restrictions were followed that prevented the games from appearing to be pseudo slot machines. Unfortunately, the law was violated. It was violated intentionally, and it violated the clear reading of the law. And because of this, the Gambling Control Board lost their lawsuit in the courts. So that is why we are here today. A lawsuit was lost. The courts have made the decision. We need to move forward, and we need to be working on, again, bipartisan ways to help, such as the bills that Representative Feist talked about, that we can do to help our veterans. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know that Chair, Lee Zhang wants to make some comments, but I'm going to get to all the member comments first. So, Mr. Representative Rapinski, you have a comment.
Thank you, Chair Bliss. Can I have a quick question for Mr. Plato? And I'll be quick just for time constraints. There's been some discussion here where different representatives keep alluding to children and marketing to children and stuff. I am correct in saying that those poll tabs aren't accessible to children, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, absolutely the law prohibits children from using charitable gambling products. Yes, that's true.
I also just want to ask a quick question. Have you personally played the poll tabs before they were fixed and then after they're fixed?
Mr. Plato.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I have.
Okay.
Representative Rubinsky.
Thank you, Chair. In your opinion, did you enjoy it the way it used to be, or did you enjoy it the way it is now more?
Mr. Plato.
Mr. Chairman, members, I think they're fairly similar products. However, I do think that there were additional features pre-January 1, and that customers may find that the new features are slightly less fun. But the key here is that those features no longer mimic slot machines. There's no bonus games. There's no free spins. Those features never existed on paper, only on slot machines, and they shouldn't have ever been on an electronic pull tab game.
Mr. Rapinski, follow up.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Rapinski. No, sorry.
That's right. Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. And you said you represented 9 of the 11 tribes?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is correct.
Okay, what are the two tribes that you don't represent?
Mr. Potter. Sorry. Plato.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yep. Representative, the two tribes that are not members of the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association are the Red Lake Nation and the Upper Sioux community.
Representative Rapinski, any follow-up?
Thank you. Thank you.
I have some other member questions here, too, but I do want to call up the member of the Gambling Control Board. Are you in the audience? We just have some clarification. I have a question for you. There was the lawsuit that was brought up several times in this discussion. Could you please describe what that lawsuit was and what the findings were on that lawsuit? And please state your name before you start.
Yes, thank you, Chair Bliss. My name is Laura Wade. I'm the Executive Director of the Gambling Control Board. The lawsuit was primarily about the open all feature. It went to an administrative law judge where we were found to win that portion of it, and then it went to a district court, I do believe, and then we lost on appeal for that. And specifically, the ruling was addressing the open all feature.
All right. Thank you very much. I there was some question as to if you'd won the lawsuit or lost the lawsuit. I remember the administrative law judge. So the district court found the open all, or was it the rulemaking ability that you had?
Thank you for the question. It did address the unpromulgated rule in the lawsuit, but the ruling was limited only to the open all feature.
All right. Thank you. And the next question is Representative Hemmingson Yeager.
Thanks again. So as I'm sitting here thinking, you know, we have a lot that we're trying to tease out and, you know, given want to be respectful of time and everything. So could I please amend my motion and have it have a motion to be to lay over and a roll call on that, please?
Would you like to table the bill? Is that what your request is?
Sure, we can table it.
Okay, we've had a request to table the bill.
Roll call with it, please.
And roll call. Please do the roll.
Chair Bliss.
No.
Vice Chair Olson.
No.
Representative Bennett.
No.
Representative Clardy.
Yes.
Representative Davis.
No.
Representative Duran.
No.
Representative Feist.
Yes.
Representative Hemmingson Yeager.
Yes.
Representative Hill.
Yes.
Representative Ray Rauer.
Yes.
Representative Rapinski.
No. The count is 5 yes and 6 no. The motion does not prevail. And Representative Zhang, would you like to do the closing comments on your side?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I just want to say thank you for your apology. I'm a little taken aback by the notion that this is supposed to be a nonpartisan committee, but yet the opening comments from the vice chair was very partisan, and I'm a little disappointed. I just want to say that on the record. And also, I'm not just the lead here, but I'm also a non-voting member, so I cannot vote to oppose this action today, but I just want to be on record saying that, yes, I do support our veterans, but I also support our tribal nations. And I want to be on record that if I do have that voting power, I would be voting no to Mr. Chair. And so that said, thank you to all the testifiers. Representative Olson, I hope that we can work together on a bipartisan bill, take bipartisan action. Obviously, we know that any action that's going to be happening from this committee, especially towards the end of session, is going to be done with bipartisan support. And so this is very theatric, and I'm just very disappointed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And Representative Hemmingson Yeager, would you still like a roll call on the bill? Okay. And Representative Olson, final words, please, nonpartisan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a very simple vote. You help your charities, you don't.
Thank you. Please take the roll.
Chair Bliss.
Yes.
Vice Chair Olson.
Yes.
Representative Bennett.
Yes.
Representative Clardy.
No.
Representative Davis.
Yes.
Representative Duran.
Yes.
Representative Feist.
No.
Representative Hemmingson Yeager.
No.
Representative Hill.
No.
Representative Ray Rauer.
No.
Representative Rapinski.
Yes.
There being 6 ayes and 5 nays, House File 733 is re-referred to Commerce Committee. The next meeting of the House Veterans and Affairs Division, Military Affairs Division, will be Wednesday, February 22nd at 8:15 a.m. There being no further business before the division today, this meeting is adjourned.